Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Eddie Lenehan here once again, and my topic for tonight is, you might say, a rather grim one. I picked graveyards. Now, graveyards, maybe the way things are going, we may have seen the last of graveyards because more and more people are choosing to be cremated or burned, if you want to be more realistic. But then, we're all very fond of euphemisms nowadays. Nobody dies anymore, for example. They pass away. Such things as that. But, never mind that. Graveyards. I find them interesting places to visit always, and I think so many people do, because they can tell us so much about ourselves and about history and about the people who went before us, and philosophy. They can tell us that riches do nothing really for you. As the old people said, you can't take it with you. As one old man said to me at a funeral, somebody gave a nudge to the fellow next to him and said, how much did he leave behind him of the man that was being buried? And he got the whisper back, all of it. So, interesting places, graveyards. But, about them. Now, they always said about graveyards, and, of course, what goes into them, funerals, you should never wear anything new when you're going to a funeral. And you say, why? Well, the reason why was, it was regarded as unlucky. Unlucky, you say? Wouldn't you think it was regarded as showing a little bit of respect for the dead? And nowadays everybody does it. But in times gone by, it was regarded as unlucky to wear something new, going to a funeral. Now, some people will say, there were days when nobody had new clothes and it was only showing respect to each other. But such as things were. Another thing was that, and this still applies, when you met a funeral along the road, you were always regarded as a decent person, a respectful person, if you turned back and walked at least 3 steps with it. No matter what hurry you were in, respect the funeral and the dead person by stopping, turning and walking 3 steps with the funeral. If you were going the other way, walk with the funeral. And it's nice to think that during the pandemic, quite a few people, when they were walking, that was recently, did that. I saw quite a few people doing that, so the custom hasn't died out yet. We do have a little bit of respect left in this country yet. And I've seen it in towns. Nice to think that. People haven't just whooshed into the next world and no regard for them. Another thing about graveyards, funerals, you were never, ever supposed to wipe your boots in a graveyard. That's a custom that comes from County Longford, and I'm sure in other places as well. I don't think anybody would have to think too much about that and the reason why. Of course, it showed disrespect. The reason being that how do you know how many people were buried in that graveyard? Because think, all graveyards aren't the fancy graveyards kept by county councils nowadays, spick and span, with graves laid out plot by plot by plot and little footpaths down between them. Think of all the old graveyards in Ireland where the graves aren't so neatly laid out. Sometimes there's only a little stone cocking up in very old graveyards. You're not quite sure who is buried where. So it would be a very disrespectful thing to wipe your shoes on any part of the grass inside the gate. You wouldn't do it, even in a new graveyard, because somebody is buried there. I wouldn't like if, when I'm buried, that somebody be wiping their boots in what I might regard as my hair above. And the next one is, if you lose something in a graveyard, leave it there. That's a Galway custom. But it's a custom, I'm sure, in other parts of Ireland also. If you lose something in a graveyard, leave it there. Next, this is a little bit more sinister. If you stumble or fall in a graveyard, that's a premonition of your own death. So make sure the next time you're in a graveyard that you watch your step. Be very careful, because it's a sign of your own death if you do stumble. Next, and you hear that in this one in many, many places, that a pregnant woman should not go into a graveyard. The reason is pretty obvious. For the sake of her unborn child, it might cause a miscarriage. It might cause a miscarriage or a stillborn birth. The next one, if a pregnant woman stumbled in a graveyard or at a funeral, her child would be born with a club foot. But there was a way out of this. If quickly, somebody who had a quick wit could grab a handful of graveyard dirt, clay, and throw it at the woman quickly, quickly. That could be counteracted. So there was a way out of some of these, if the other person knew the custom. And the woman in that case would be a grateful person, wouldn't she? The next custom that I have here is, now, there was an element of fun in this one, if you call death fun. If a young wife died, she'd be buried with her own people, not her husband's people. And you ask, why? Well, the reason why was that if her husband married again, you see, it wouldn't do to have the two wives buried together. If his second wife died, there might be arguing. In the same grave, that is. And you'll find an element of that, you see, in the famous Irish book Craney Killer by Martin O'Kane. So she'd be buried with her own people. Stands to reason, doesn't it? Now, in parts of Tipperary, if a grave was opened by mistake, a loaf of bread was put in it before it was filled in. And you ask, why? Well, partly to apologise. And the name of that place was My Bullog, M-I-G-H. Bullog, a bullog being a loaf of bread in Irish. My Bullog. So I suppose to apologise for the mistake. Oh, lad, sorry. You're feeding the earth and feeding the ground for an apology for opening the grave by mistake. And it could happen very easily in an old graveyard where somebody hadn't been buried for quite a long time. And you know yourself how greedy Irish people were, and still are sometimes, about little plots of ground. All the more so in death rather than in life, even. Now, they always said, and sometimes do yet, the customs, all of them, do not die. And some customs, as in the burial of people, die very hard indeed. That no grave was ever opened anywhere on New Year's Day, because it was believed that a grave would be opened in that same graveyard every day for a whole year if it was. Nobody was going to take a chance on that. So, no. And no grave was ever opened after nightfall or on a Monday, except, and there was one exception on a Monday, except if one sod had been cut on the evening before, which was Sunday evening, then it could be opened on a Monday. Now, the next one. If possible, four men from the same family would shoulder the coffin to the graveyard, if they were available. It was always a family affair, if possible. And you could understand that, because, well, again, out of respect. And they, of course, included cousins. It was a nice gesture to have not just a stranger having to do that for the family. It gave the impression that, oh, Lord, is that how short of relations they are that they haven't even somebody to shoulder the coffin? They're short of cousins even in the locality. So, if possible, have all the same family to shoulder the coffin to the graveyard. Or at least, if that was not possible, the very, very well-known and close friend. Now, in Listowel, I'm nearly from there myself, I'm not too far from there. What they used to do, a very peculiar custom, before the closing of the grave. A man used to get down and unscrew the screws before the men filled in the grave. Now you'd ask yourself, why? What would be the difference? The screws in the four corners of the coffin, I'm saying. 6 feet of earth down on top of the coffin, did it make a difference? Now you ask yourself, why? Was it to make sure that the man might have a chance of getting out himself? If, was there a reason? There was. But I let you figure it out for yourself, and there was a very interesting reason why the four screws at the four corners of the coffin were unscrewed before the earth was filled in the grave. Now, there were graveyards where only men and only women were buried separately. For example, there was Relig na Mon in Carrickmore in County Tyrone, and there, there'd be no live women left in, or no dead men left in there. Peculiar one, that. And Inishmurry in County Sligo, they have Teampull na Bhear, and also Teampull na Mon on Inishmurry. And some Irish graveyards, for example, Relig Kieran on Cape Clear, they promise that if you're buried there, you'll go straight to heaven. I'm surprised that there's not a queue for that one. Now, they say that after a funeral, the old custom always was, don't be the last one out of a graveyard, because you'll bring bad luck with you. And some people took that very, very seriously in the old days, and it often caused arguments and even fights at the funeral gates. And you can know why, because there'd be a squeeze at the gate trying to get out. And, well, picture it for yourself, because, well, I'm not going to be the last one. You will be the last one, eh? Well, in a fight. Well, there was many a fight at gates, fellas trying not to be the last one out. Now, I've seen this myself. I have seen this one myself. In the old days, they used to put faction fighters' sticks into the coffin with them. Faction fights are long gone out of the world. But if there was a very famous faction fighter that put his stick into the coffin with him, as a kind of a token, look, you might meet the same bios above in the other place, so this is something that you might need with you in order to face them. But also, if a person was famous for something else, for example, music, if he was a fiddle player, now they would put his fiddle in with him because a fiddle was an important item, but they might put the bow of his fiddle in, just to, as a token. And of course, card playing, which was a very, very popular thing in Ireland and is right up to the present day in parts of Ireland, that put the deck. My aunt died 2 years ago at the age of 101, and they put her deck of cards into the coffin with her. And I thought, well, what a lovely gesture. And the reason why was, she always said that where she was going, all the people that she had played with down the years, they were all waiting for her above, to have another game, and many of them, because she had her wits about her right up until the end. I thought it was a beautiful thing that they had put her Dick in her hands inside in the coffin with her. I have a photo of it. So there, during the famine, especially in one of my recordings, we all know, of course, that the famine was a terrible time. Funerals, they were so common that they hadn't enough coffins. And what they were eventually forced to do was get a coffin with a hinge in it. If they had coffins for everybody, they'd run out of timber. So they were forced to get a coffin with a hinge on it and take the same coffin again and again and again to a mass grave where they were just... I don't have to explain to you. And just pull the bolt in the coffin, live in the body, come back for another one, and the same thing and same thing again. But in Kilrush Union Workhouse, there was this girl, and she was very unusual to have a girl doing it, but she had a donkey and car, and she was given one of the contracts to haul the bodies to the graveyard pit where they were burying them, because it was a big long grave in a section of the graveyard, Shan Achail, the old graveyard. And an old man told me that what she used to do was she'd sit above on the coffin singing. It was so common, obviously her job, just day after day, 10, 20, 30 times a day on her donkey car, sitting above on the coffin, singing. Well, if she was doing it like an ordinary person was doing it, there'd be solemnity in it, but she was just doing it as a job. And the person who told me it told me that his grandfather told him that she had a beautiful voice. Terrible times. But there were the times that were in it. How many people died that time? Most of them with no coffin at all, with not even a sack. They were just thrown into a pit. Now, Irish place names, of course, they carry the names very often of funerals. And in my home place of Brosna in County Kerry, you have Paula Tomple, which is a hole in the river. If you're looking over the bridge, it is a deep pool in the River Clydach. And you say, Paula Tomple, how did it get that name? The pool of the graveyard, or the pool of the church, but most people, they would see it as the pool of the graveyard. And the story is, whenever there'd be a body being buried above in the graveyard, a huge eel used to come out of that pool and crawl up and up and up across the fields, and where the body would have been buried above in the graveyard, of course the earth would be soft still, and he'd burrow down and he'd take the body out of the coffin, back down through the fields, into the pool, and I presume eat the body of the person who had been buried. And that's how it got the name Paula Tomple, from that huge eel stealing the bodies out of the graveyard, because the church isn't that far. You can see it very clearly above on the hill from the pool, from the bridge. So sometimes we get such names and graveyards from place names. Now, they always say that you should take, when you are burying a body in a funeral like that, take the long way around in the gate, go left, go around, or like you'd be doing your round at a blessed well. And finally, you've got east, north, as long as you end up north of the grave, on the northern side of the grave, where the priest will say the prayers and then bury the body. So it's complicated, we'll say, but there's formalities to it. Nowadays, I don't think those formalities are bothered with at all. But they always had whiskey for the grave diggers, though. Whiskey, and the glasses for the whiskey used to be left on the grave. Now, I have one of those glasses, and they were the old-style whiskey glasses. I shouldn't have taken it, I have to admit. I shouldn't have taken it from the graveyard, but in mitigation, I prayed for the person. I prayed for the person who was dead. I was tempted, I'm afraid, to steal it. But I prayed for the person anyway, thinking that the prayer was worth more than the whiskey glass. You were supposed to leave things like that in the graveyard. I hope the person who died got better value from the prayer than from my theft, we'll say. Now, a much more sinister thing entirely, as some people will know, was the dead man's hand, which was sometimes stolen by night for pishogues, for the purpose of pishogues, from graveyards. Of course, the dead man's hand was the bones of a dead man's hand, because it was believed that the bones of a dead man's hand could, if they were dipped in the churn, they could work pishogues. They could increase your butter and steal the butter from somebody else. Or if they were used in the garden, if they were buried in somebody else's garden, they could take away that person's crop and increase your crop. But you ask yourself, what in the name of God kind of a person would go in and dig up a grave and steal the bones of a dead person's hand in order to do that? What kind of a twisted-minded person would do that? And yet, I've heard that story. I've heard that story not many times, but sometimes. Bad minds will always be in this world, and we'll never stop that. Now, the other thing, of course, about graveyards was during the troubled times, 1919 to 1923, when fellas on the run from the Black and Tans and from British forces sometimes hid in vaults. In vaults when, I suppose, they reckoned that ghosts and the rest of it, well, ghosts wouldn't do as much harm as the Black and Tans would do to you if they caught you. So they took their chances. They took their chances on going into vaults and, well, seemingly whoever was in the vault, most of these fellas came out of the vault safe anyway, it seems, because I was told by two or three of these old fellas at the end of their lives that, look, we came out safely, whereas if we had been outside and got what the Black and Tans could have given us, it might have been a lot worse for us. They came out of it anyway, and they weren't afraid to go into them. Another ugly part of these graves sometimes was that, you know yourself, the landlords tended to have big vaults, and some people thought that, oh, these fellas, especially the women, will be buried with their jewellery. And they said, We'll try. We'll find out whether they were or not, whether they're buried with their rings on their fingers or their jewellery around their neck. And sometimes that's what led to these vaults being broken open. And of course, 99 times out of 100, they weren't buried with that jewellery at all. But you can't persuade some people who want to get rich quick that that's the case. And it's an awful shame that the dead can't rest easy, but that's the case. Now, I was told one time, a strange story, that in one particular town in West Limerick, there's a graveyard, and it's very, very, very near the River Feel. And what they used to do when they'd be burying a person, and they'd dig up the old coffins. And if the coffins weren't rotted, what they used to do is dump the old coffins into the River Feel, let them off with the flood. And he said, the man who told it to me, he said he saw it himself. He saw the old coffins, the old boards of the old coffins floating off down the river. And no, I can't say whether he was telling me the truth or not, but he said he saw it. He saw it himself. Off they go. And of course, there is no doubt, because I saw it with my own eyes, that some of the old graveyards in times gone by, they were kept very, very badly. I remember seeing in the village where I came from, when they used to dig up graves long ago, they'd just throw the bones, and they'd all be thrown into the corner of the graveyards, the graveyard. And I saw skulls and I saw bones thrown up into the corner of the graveyard. And we used to be, when we were young lads, daring each other. Will you go over and touch that skull? Will you go over and touch that bone? But we never did. We were frightened of our life. Oh, we were brave men. We were brave men, all right. But we didn't do it because we were frightened. That doesn't happen anymore. The county council now, there's a bit of respect nowadays, but there wasn't then. There wasn't then. People were careless. People were much more careless then than they are now, which was very, very strange. I was always surprised that priests at that time weren't more forthcoming about graveyards. And they weren't. They were too busy preaching about other things. maybe sex and things, but it wasn't right. It wasn't right to have coffins and bones especially. Now all those things are buried again, and there's a bit of respect shown for the dead. But they also said that if you ever cut yourself in a graveyard, that cut will never heal. Is that true? Well, try it sometime and see. I won't. I'd prefer not to. And there was a custom also, there was a belief that the most recent person buried in a graveyard was the servant to everybody in that graveyard until the next funeral. Now, the problem was, if there were two funerals on the one day, which there could be in a town or whatever, and maybe three, going into that graveyard on the one day, and there could be quite a fight inside as to who would be the servant until the next time around. Another thing, once I think of it, there was always great care to take to make sure that the exact spot for opening a grave, where it was, because nobody wanted to intrude on another person's property. But if it happened, well, what then? What happened if it did happen? Because you see, it could cause trouble. There was a story one time about some person who was buried in the wrong grave, and shortly afterwards, a person, a relation of that person, came, and said, "Hey, that's our grave, get him out of there. Well, and they had to take the person up again. Now, luckily, it was only a short time afterwards, because if it had been a month afterwards, what in the name of God would have happened? I tell you, it would have caused big trouble. Because, when picture it for yourself again. And one last thing, while I think of it, one never, ever said, "God bless the work," when men were digging a grave, or working in any way in a graveyard. And that still applies. The proper greeting always for men working in a graveyard was and is, "The Lord have mercy on the dead." Now, to finish up, I should say, to do with graveyards, what about Kyleen's? Those other sad little graveyards. Kyleen's, Killeen's, Killeenach's. There's many names for them all over the country. The little burial grounds for stillborn children, or for children who die shortly after they are born. What happened to them? The Catholic Church didn't seem to know how to deal with them because, as you know, or maybe you don't, up to about the 1940s, they couldn't be buried in consecrated ground. They couldn't be buried with their own people. They were consigned, like suicides or like strangers, to be buried away in the fields, more often than not. You'll see it in the Ordnance Survey maps to this very day, children's burial ground. Most parishes have at least one, sometimes two or three of them, and often they're in the most inaccessible places, out in the fields, and some of them inexpressibly, horribly, have been destroyed in land reclamation in recent years. Imagine it, to destroy a little children's graveyard. It should never be done because they're all on the maps. But, you see, there's nothing there to mark them except little field stones. There's no names on them, but I have interviewed old people who can tell me that my little brother, my little sister has been buried there, and you wouldn't mind the cattle walking in and out between them, because, look, they're, as so many old people have said to me, they're little angels. They never did anything wrong except to be born, to be stillborn, but they never did anything wrong. Why weren't they buried in ordinary graveyards with their people? But they weren't. The least that could be done is a little wall built around the places where they were buried. I don't think I have ever met a wall built around the place, but thanks be to God, nowadays Mass is usually said in those places once a year at least, or at least prayers said, and often there's a signpost now where you can be led to a place like that. And the ordinary people of the country usually had their own merciful solution to that, even if the church hadn't. What ordinary people very often did was they buried these children close to a blessed well, a holy well, knowing that at least that was a sacred site. And when people would be visiting the blessed well, they could always say a prayer for the little ones who had died and who were buried just within sight of the well. So ordinary people in some ways were more merciful than the church, which is a sad thing to say. But You'll see those little Kylenes, Killeenachs, Kylenes, call them what you will. They're called different things in different parts of the country. But they're a sad reflection on our past, just like so many other parts of our history that's only coming to light nowadays.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.